Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
All in the Family.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers. Produced by John Rich.
G-R-O-L-S, now red, great. Those were the days.
At the piano, Archie chomps a cigar and shares a fond smile with Edith. Developed by Norman Lear. In the living room.
I can't now, Michael. I just finished my nails. They're wet.
You know you have the worst timing in the world? I mean, look at this. We have the whole house to ourselves, and you have wet nails.
You should have asked me just even 5 minutes ago.
I did. I asked you 5 minutes ago. You see that? You never pay any attention to me.
Oh, Michael, I do, too.
You do not. You do not. I'll prove it to you. How many fingers do I have up?
Three.
How many now?
Three.
How many now?
Three.
How many now?
Three.
Now, I have four fingers up now.
You didn't have four, you have three.
Four.
Three.
Four.
Three.
Gloria, if I am wrong, will you pay me $5?
Sure.
All right, I'm wrong. You see that? You never pay any attention to me.
Michael.
Edith arrives home, stacked with a bag of groceries.
Hi, Ma.
Hi, Ma.
Hello.
Package, Ma?
Oh, yes, Mike. Thanks.
As she heads to the kitchen, she drops a roll of paper towels on the floor.
Ma, what's the matter? Something wrong?
Edith glances at Gloria anxiously, then hustles into the kitchen.
Something's wrong with Mom, Michael. I better go see what's the matter.
Gloria grabs the paper towels on her way.
Ma? Why don't you sit down?
Gloria sets the groceries on the counter.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I'll get it.
Instead, Edith sits at the table, heavily preoccupied.
Would you like to tell me about it?
No, Gloria, I can't tell you about it.
Come on, Ma.
No, I told you, I can't tell you about it. I can't tell nobody about it. Never.
All right, Ma, you don't have to tell me about it.
I was arrested.
Edith quells tears.
You were arrested for what?
I told you, Gloria, I can't tell you about it. I'm a shoplifter.
You were arrested for shoplifting?
You were arrested for shoplifting?
Now everybody knows.
Gloria, what's going on?
Ma, it's all a big mistake, isn't it?
No, Gloria.
Edith hastens to unpack the groceries.
I'm sorry, but I think there's something wrong with me. Yeah, I've started taking things. I think I'm one of them people that, you know, can't help taking things.
Ma, you're not a kleptomaniac.
That's the word.
You're not that.
Yeah, it's come down to me from my Aunt Gertrude. She was one of them kleppers, too.
Ma, you don't inherit kleptomania.
Oh, she was a lovely person, but she couldn't help taking things. Yeah, it was so sad. I remember once, after she left our house, we couldn't eat a thing.
She made you feel that bad, huh?
No, she took all the knives and forks.
Edith scoots from the kitchen.
Listen, just because your Aunt Gertrude stole things doesn't mean that you will.
That sort of thing runs in the family, Gloria. And I dreamed about Aunt Gertrude just the other night. Oh, I could see her clear as day in my dream. She was sneaking out of the house with my mother's sewing machine. She was riding it like a bicycle.
Look, Ma, why don't you just sit down over here and tell us what happened, all right?
Don't tell Archie nothing about this, please.
Don't worry about it. Don't. We won't.
Hello, everybody. Hello, and whoop-dee-doo.
Hey,
hold it. Before you say another word to me, Stan Bank, you are looking at a champagne bowler here. Edith, The greatest Saturday afternoon of my life down in the alleys. Oh, the pins were flying. Every time I took the ball, come up to the line there, some guys in the back were yelling timber. Why? Because I bowled for the first time in my life a 227 game. What do you got to say to that?
I was arrested.
Archie eyes her incredulously.
I was arrested.
You was arrested for what?
Oh, if I told you, you'd just get mad.
I ain't gonna get...
He catches himself.
I ain't gonna get mad. Tell me what you was arrested for.
I don't know where to start.
At the beginning, Edith.
Well, all right. This morning, after I finished sorting the laundry upstairs, I came downstairs to do the breakfast dishes. And then I decided to go to Willington's and buy you some shirts.
All right, hold it, hold it. Forget the beginning. Just start at the end.
Edith ponders this.
I was arrested.
Edith, you know, I got the idea that you're in some kind of goofy trouble or something. How did it start?
Well, the trouble started because our old apartment is on Union Street. You remember the apartment that got so hot in the summer and Arthur had to sleep out on the fire escape? Yeah, Arthur was our cat.
She explains to the kids.
You didn't like Arthur the cat very well, did you, Archie?
I hated his fish-eating guts. Get on with the story.
Well, the number 44 bus route don't go to Bayside, but I told the old lady it did.
Archie blinks with confusion, then rolls his eyes.
You told, who?
The little old lady in Wellington's department store who wanted to go to Bayside. I told her to take the number 44.
Wait a minute, you told an old lady something wrong, but that ain't no crime. What'd they arrest you for?
Because I was wearing the wig.
Just a minute. Sit down in the chair here.
Daddy, I'm very upset, so
get away from me, Bob. Don't tell me how to go, nothing. Shut up the two of you. Sit down over here. Just sit down, quiet. I'll handle it. Once again, I gotta straighten out conditions here in Nutsville.
Archie settles into his chair.
Edith, let me explain something to you, huh? You ain't got no wig.
I know, but I was trying one on down at Willington's, and I was still wearing it when I ran out of the store after the little old lady to tell her I told her the wrong bus, and that's when they arrested
you for shoplifting, homie. Did they call the cops on you?
No. No, they said I could never come in the store again. And then they made me sign a form and they took my picture.
Oh, jeez.
Archie springs to his feet.
Mom, that means you're on the blacklist.
Oh, geez, a blacklist now.
What blacklist?
The ones that the stores pass around to each
they
other.
They pass them all around, everywhere.
They feed those things in the computers.
Yeah, the computers.
And once that happens, your credit rating is zilch.
Oh, because it is. What do you mean, credit rating zilch? I ain't gonna let no store do that over one little mistake like this here. I know how to handle them stores. Believe me. Now, that store is going to make an apology to you. First thing Monday morning, I'm going to send you down there to get it.
Gee, I can't do that. They won't let me in the store. And everybody knows I'm a kleptomaniac. I'll never go shopping again.
Making a crying for?
Let me handle this. The two of you, get out of here. I want to talk to her alone.
All right, Michael, let's make some coffee. Daddy, be nice.
Leave me alone. Oh, Edith, come on, will you? Stop slobbering there.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, that ain't gonna help nothing.
Archie sits down.
Edith, listen, it ain't your fault, it ain't your fault.
He pats her hand.
It's the world, Edith.
What do you mean?
I mean, Edith, that the world just ain't ready for you.
Not your don't understand.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that I know that you ain't never hurt nobody in your whole life. You ain't ever told a lie to nobody, and I know damn well you never stole nothing from
nobody. Do you really think so, Archie?
Oh, certainly, Gated, certainly. The only thing anybody could ever pin on you, and as far as I know, it ain't no crime, is being a dingbat.
Edith lights up.
Oh, thank you, Archie.
She kisses him.
All right, Edith. You want to thank me? Just go and get some of that coffee for me.
All right, Archie, right away. Oh, my. I feel like a weight's been lifted from my shoulders. Ain't it silly how we let things bother us?
She hurries into the kitchen.
I'll take that cup of coffee for Archie.
You look brighter, Ma.
Oh, yeah, I feel much better now. Archie knows how to talk to me.
Ma, you look prettier when you're smiling. And that's a pretty necklace, too. Oh,
thanks. Here, Archie, here's the coffee. What necklace?
Edith notes she's draped in a turquoise necklace. Edith drops the necklace and rushes upstairs.
Ma, come down and have your breakfast. You really should eat something.
All right, Gloria.
Michael, I'm really worried about Ma. She's been moping around all weekend.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, Gloria, and I think we ought to talk Ma into seeing a psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist? Oh, no, Mike, I can't go to one of them. Besides, I'm going someplace else.
Ma, why don't you let us make an appointment for you? A psychiatrist would make you feel better.
No, Glory. I won't have time anyway. I'm going someplace else.
Where?
Somewhere.
Hey, who is the person that put the last roll of toilet paper on the spool up there?
I was. Why?
I might have knew that. How many times I got to tell you? The paper goes in over the spool, not under.
Look, Arch, I want to talk to you about something.
Man, I got to eat and go to work.
Ma, will you? Just one second. I've been thinking. I think Ma ought to go see a psychiatrist.
No, dice for no psychiatrist.
Why not?
Anybody goes to see a psychiatrist ought to have his head examined.
Okay, have you got a better suggestion?
After work today, I'm going down to that Willington store. I'm going to see that manager myself, and I am going to put the fix in. Now, look at the time you're keeping me. I'm going to be late for work. Did you get my lunchbox, huh?
I'll get it, Daddy.
On top of that, the radio says rain today. Get away from me.
He shoes Mike.
You know what that does to the subway? Makes the damn thing like a Turkish bear.
You better take your rubbers, too.
I don't want no rubbers. Every time I put them off, my shoes come off with them.
Gloria proffers his lunchbox.
Give me that.
Oh! Edith inspects an umbrella.
Oh, well, now I ain't gonna carry that, Edith. The guys at the loading dock see me walking in with that, they think I turned into an English fruit.
It's Louise Jefferson's.
I don't care if it's Mary Poppins. Let me out of here.
Well, have a nice day, Daddy.
How the hell can I?
Archie leaves.
Oh, dear.
What's with the umbrella?
Well, I borrowed it from Louise a week ago, and yesterday she asked for it back, and I told her I didn't have it. I told her I already gave it back to her.
Well, that's an easy mistake to make.
But, Gloria, suppose I didn't give it back on purpose.
Ma, look how you're torturing yourself.
Yeah, I gotta go see somebody.
That's right. Now, forget what Archie says. You gotta go see a psychiatrist. And I think you ought to do it today.
It was my son-in-law's idea that I should see a psychiatrist. He said I should talk to somebody professional, and he's right. That's why I came to see you.
Well, I'm very flattered, but why me?
A priest sits opposite Edith.
Father, you don't mind if I ain't Catholic,
do
you?
No. I have a sinking feeling a lot of my congregation isn't.
Edith ponders this remark, bewildered.
Really?
Oh, no. Protestant ministers say that, too. It's a religious joke.
Oh, yeah. I thought of
going to our pastor, the Reverend Felcher, but I was too ashamed. And I heard in your church you don't talk about nothing. You're told.
Oh, the secrets of confession. Yes, that's the hardest part of the job for me. I'm a born gossip. don't worry, we never talk. Now, let's get back to our discussion, Mrs. Bunker.
Well, I remembered how nice you was to us when I dented your car with the can of cling peaches and heavy syrup. Remember, it was at Ferguson's Market. They were having a special one.
Oh, why'd you stop?
That's where Archie usually says stifle.
Oh, yes, your husband Archie. You know, Mrs. Bunker, all things considered, you're a remarkably cheerful woman.
I ain't so cheerful no more, Father. That's why I need your help. I don't want to be a kleptomaniac.
Well, now, I'm sure you aren't. If you were a kleptomaniac, you wouldn't be as upset as you are about it.
But what about the Eighth Commandment? Thou shalt not steal.
Oh. I'm sure, Mrs. Bunker, that you exaggerate when you say stole. Why, now you really don't believe that, do you?
Oh, I don't know what to believe no more. And I think I broke number 10, too.
Oh, number 10, huh? Mm. How'd you do that?
I coveted my neighbor's umbrella.
Father Majeski tops up their tea.
Father, can you tell me why I'm doing these things?
Well, of course, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know that kleptomania isn't really criminal. It's more of an emotional upset. Now, perhaps you're dissatisfied with your life?
Oh, no.
You ever wish you were somebody else?
No. But when I was a little girl, I used to pretend to be somebody else.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Deanna Durbin. My mother used to think I was crazy daydreaming that way.
Oh, there's nothing crazy about daydreaming. I do it all the time.
Priests daydream?
Oh, sure. Some of us dream of being bishops and cardinals. Cardinals dream of being pope.
What do you dream about?
I dream about retiring. Still think about being other people?
Oh, no. I just think about other people doing the same things I'm doing. Like when I'm brushing my teeth, I stop and think about Elizabeth Taylor or the Queen of England brushing their teeth at the very same time.
Well, everybody does it.
If they've got teeth. I can think of Elizabeth Taylor brushing her teeth, but I can never think of her spitting it out.
Majeski nods with feigned understanding.
Well, Mrs. Bunker, you seem very relaxed now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, suppose then we go on with that story of yours. Now you think very hard this time. Now, the little old lady wanted to go to Bayside.
Yeah, that's what I heard her tell the floor walker, and I thought
The floor walker?
Yeah, Mr. Masterson. So I went over, and I told her to take the number 44.
No, Mr. Masterson was there.
Yeah, he's been with Willingtons for years. And then she said, thank you very much.
Mr. Masterson's a witness.
No, he's a floor walker. To try and on
no,
the
wig. Mrs.
No,
Mr.
Wait, Father, I ain't finished yet. I was looking in the mirror, and I was thinking about the bus, and I saw myself looking puzzled. And I ran out in the street after.
Edith replays the scene in her mind, then pushes to her feet.
I didn't take the wig on purpose.
Well, of course you didn't, and Mr. Masterson knows that, too.
That's right. I forgot about him.
Well, of course, and the shock of being arrested drove him right out of your mind.
But he's in here now. He saw me talk the little old lady. He knows why I ran out of the store after her. He knows I didn't steal the wig. I ain't a clapper.
Edith throws her arms around Majeski. Meanwhile...
What I mean, Mr. Kirkland, is that my wife, Edith, never stole nothing in her whole life. I'm sure this whole thing was some kind of mistake.
Not according to the store detective's report. I'm sorry, Mr. Bunker, but I'm afraid, you know, that's what they all say once we catch them. It was a mistake.
Well, I know it looks bad for Edith, but couldn't you kind of, you know, square it for one of your own kind? You know what I mean?
Not exactly sure I get your drift, Mr. Bunker. What does that mean, one of your own kind?
Well, you know, people like us, you, me, my wife, and all. You know, we like to come shopping here at Willington's. We don't like to go to them other places like Bloomingdale's, Klein's, Abraham and Strauss. You know that tribe?
Yeah, beginning to see what you mean.
Sure you do. I mean, I knew by your face and by your name, Kirkwood, you'd see my paint here. Now, listen. You want to keep customers like us who enjoy coming here because they know to get a fair shake here. I mean, get the picture?
Oh, yeah, I do. I get it. here's a picture of my family, Mr. Bunker. There's my wife and my daughter, Melanie.
Nice looking family.
Thank you. My wife's first name is Janet.
That's a nice name for a wife.
Before we were married, her name was Janet Goldstein.
Archie stares at Kirkwood, poker-faced.
Yeah. So why don't you just take yourself and your anti-Semitism the hell out of here, huh?
All right.
And I'm going to tell you something else, Bunker. My wife, Janet, she's got a word for people like you. A word that describes you perfectly. You are a nourisher cop.
What the hell is that?
A meathead.
Archie cocks his brows disdainfully.
Oh, well. You never know who you're talking to no more.
Lunch pail in hand, Archie leaves Kirkwood's office. At home.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Kirkwood. Yeah, bye. That was Mr. Kirkwood, the manager. Mr. Masterson spoke to him, and my name is Cleo.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He says I'm welcome in the store anytime. But for some reason, he said he didn't want to see Archie.
Archie enters. Edith gives him a bear hug.
How was your day?
Just like any other day, Edith. I don't want to talk about it.
Archie hangs his jacket.
But there's something else. I was into Willington's. I seen that manager, and we're quits with him. You ought to be damn glad you don't have to shop in there no more.
But Archie...
You don't want to do any shopping. There's millions of other places you can go. Go to Klein's, Abraham, and Strauss, and...
He sits in his chair.
Archie, he cleared my name.
I don't care.
He turns to Edith.
I'm off the block.
Maybe the guy thought twice about what I told him.
What did you tell him, Arch?
What do you care? Do you have to know everything? Take him away and feed him, huh? Him and all the psychiatrists. He'd have everybody run into a psychiatrist. I bet you're glad you didn't go there.
Oh, yeah, Archie, I'm very glad.
I want to tell you, if you all had listened to me a little bit more often around here, life would go on much more simpler.
Gloria signals Edith to explain, but Edith waves her off.
What do you think, Gloria?
Looks great with your dress. Really suits you, Ma.
Edith, what are you doing wearing that necklace? You're supposed to give that back to the store.
Oh, it's all right, Archie. Mr. Kirkwood, the store manager, said I could keep it.
Oh. Well, after all the trouble he made, the least he could do is give you something.
And not only that, he says it's going to be the first item. him on my new charge account.
Archie grimaces with disbelief. Directed by Hal Cooper. Written by Sam Locke and Olga Valance and Don Nickel. Script consultant, Don Nickel. Story editors, Michael Ross, Bernie West. Executive producer, Norman Lear. Bernard Hughes as Father Majeski and James Gregory as William R. Kirkwood.
All in the Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Those Were the Days by Lee Adams and Charles Strauss. Based on Till Death Us Do Part, created by Johnny Spite. Copyright 1972, Tandem Productions Incorporated, a Bud Yorkin, Norman Lear, Tandem Production.